You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Caroline Jens.
And I'm Justina Patterson.
And we're looking forward to another great episode today for season two, Justina, podcast number 16. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. And I'm just hoping we have no planes, trains, or automobiles again in the background.
Yeah, we did have a little bit of problems last time, didn't we?
Just a little bit, but I feel like in the season of life that we're all in, where many people are working virtually, you have to just roll with the punches when those kind of things happen. Like, yep, that was a train and that was thunder and that was an email and it is what it is.
Right. So this morning I had to go over and give my neighbor a schedule of all of our podcast recording times and dates. Put your construction on hold during these specific times, please.
Was he good with it?
He was awesome. We have a really great neighborhood. I just felt really bad that, you know, I'm asking him to pause his construction because we're recording. But
well, it's not like we're recording for, you know, 12 hours. It's just small amounts of time. So hopefully he can just like take a coffee break or lunch break or a nap. Who knows?
Right. So as long as we don't have any technical issues or Mr. Gunny doesn't act up, I think we're going to be good for today.
Well, and you had to also let him know about the conference that you're speaking at next week. You know, with podcasts, I feel like it's a little different. We can, you know, roll with the punches if we hear some hammering, but you're speaking at the Association for the Early Learning Leaders Conference, and that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's an hour and a half of having to train. And I'm not going to be able to just pause it and walk away or restart. So yeah, the pressure will be on next week for sure.
You got it. It'll be fine.
Well, you know, it adds character to our program. So, you know, bring it on, right?
Exactly.
So, all right. We shouldn't keep her waiting any longer. We have a very, very special guest with us today. Are you ready, Justina?
I was born ready.
I know you are. Well, it's a good friend of ours, a past client, but she is rocking it in the childcare industry. Maria Fitzgibbon from Leap Academy Childcare, based out of Madison, Wisconsin, and Wanakee, Wisconsin. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Hi, Caroline and Justina.
Hi. You know, I was going to say, Caroline, make sure you tell her that you miss her and you want to see her again, because I miss her and I'm glad to see your face today.
I do miss her, and I always want her coming to Florida to visit me.
I would like to come to Florida to visit you as well, and Caroline tells me that every time I talk to her as well.
Well, and you know, I heard that Maria and I are in Wisconsin, is going to be getting some very chilly weather. Like a week or so ago, it was chilly, but now it's going to be like 40. So...
Well, you know, one of my pandemic resolutions is not to watch the weather and then to just be surprised by it.
Well, then you can
practice in resilience. So if you open the door and it's 40 and you need to change your clothes, it's a good practice with rolling with the punches. So this is how I start my day every day. So I did not know that it was going to be 40.
I also don't watch weather. I don't really watch the news. And I just saw it. One of my friends posted about it. I was like, oh, 40. That's great. Hey, Colorado had snow last week, didn't they?
No.
Yeah, I think it snowed in Colorado last week or so. And like a lot, like 3 inches or something like that. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Maria, remember when we were doing yoga on the beach in Miami?
Yeah, that was in February.
It was in February.
That was beautiful. Sunrise yoga at the ship conference.
Was that fun? Oh my gosh.
It was so fantastic. Such a great way to start a day.
My hair doesn't do well in humidity. So that would not be fun for me.
Oh, you just put it in a ponytail. No one cares.
It doesn't matter if it's in a ponytail or what. It will grow 3 times the size as it normally is. I promise you.
So what our listeners can't see today is how beautiful your hair looks today.
I straightened it. It took a lot of work. And then I realized I missed some spots in the back. And so it's a little curly still. So good thing it's not the back of my head.
Well, I wanted to give you kudos because it's really easy to not shower and not get dressed when all you're having to do is work virtually every day.
It is. But, you know, I got dolled up just for you ladies today.
I had an interview with Fox News, and so did Maria. We both interviewed with the same station in Wisconsin for our industry. And I had to pause for a minute and go close my blinds because sometimes the sun will come in too much. And I'm like, don't pay attention to the bottom half of my body because I had on shorts, but my upper half was all dressed up.
It's like the mullet of the virtual world, business on the top, party in the bottom.
I think we need to create t-shirts of that. That is hilarious.
You know how many people I have heard say, like, look at my fancy outfit, and then like they stand up in its shorts. Like when John Krasinski was doing some Good News.
Loved it.
Early on in the pandemic, and he would always like have like a suit on top, and he would stand up and he had like gym shorts on or a swimming suit.
Well, I'm going to shout out to our friend Mandy with Bottled Up and Stuff because she should make t-shirts that say the new 2020 mullet and have that party on top. No, business on top, party on the bottom.
Yeah.
All right, enough about that. Maria, you've got a great background, a really exciting history at your childcare center. So I'm going to do our listeners a favor and read your bio, tell a little bit about you, and then we can dive into our topic. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Awesome. So Maria is the owner and operator of Leap Academy Childcare Center in Madison and Wanakee, Wisconsin. She has infused her love of the whole child to include high quality nutrition, social emotional development, and play-based education into her centers. Maria has a master's degree in counseling psychology. And prior to owning Leap Academy, Maria worked as a mental health practitioner with children with disabilities in the Minnesota public school system. Now, what's not written in Maria's bio is how wonderful of a person she is. She's just truly a really great friend of Justina and I's. She's one of the smartest people that I know. She always challenged me beyond my limits. I know that for sure. super kind, very hardworking, a great mom, great wife, and really an inspiring business owner and entrepreneur. And it's really an honor to have you here today, Maria.
Well, thanks, Caroline, and right back at you.
Thank you. So fun to have friends. Next week, we're going to have another one of our past clients. Well, he's actually a current client still, Shalom Strick. He owns many childcare centers in Chicago. So bring in the family on the podcast. Right. Loving it. All right. So you had mentioned that you worked as a mental health practitioner with children with disabilities. And what led you into the childcare center business?
So three things. If I had to nail it down, it would be three things. The first thing is I have an entrepreneurial brain. So I'm just always thinking of ideas. My husband and I have a notebook where we keep all of our business ideas. And
I'm
bored of that. So, we come home from a full day at work. Sometimes they're long days even. And we sit down at the dinner table and we're like, let's talk about operations. Let's talk about enrollment. And that's just the way we work. So so getting to be a part of a business or purchasing a business was always something that we wanted to do. Second, I was a mental health practitioner in the Minnesota Public Schools with kids who had emotional behavioral disabilities. And it's a very small program. And I got to know those kids and families so very well. And part of my role was to help them develop their social skills. And through that, because we got to work so closely, I just was really able to see some progress with things like self-awareness, the ability to self-regulate, the ability to play and share and trade. And all of those things are so important. And I think we get lost thinking about our academic skills with preschoolers.
Right.
And, you know, what I have seen is that the ABCs and the 1-2-3s and those in colors and, you know, shape recognition, that stuff comes very naturally to most kids. It's really the social skills where we need to be focusing our time and attention. And certainly there's a lot of research to back that up, that the kids who are having the most success in elementary school are the kids who are coming in with strong social emotional skills. And since I was able to see that with that population of children, I really wanted to focus that on the general population in a preschool setting.
That's cool.
And then the third thing is, in my early 20s, I had a health crisis. So I had Lyme disease and I ended up in the hospital for a few days. And after that experience, I started just having multiple systems in my body affected and ended up with multiple specialists and was taking something like 7 to 9 pills a day.
Oh my goodness.
And during that time, I was exhausted. So I was working a job that was quite demanding and I would work a 12-hour day. And was definitely not at my best. And then I would come home and take a 2 or 3 hour nap and then get up and work another hour and go back to bed and still wake up feeling exhausted the next day. And that's just not the way that I wanted to live my life. So I started working on some alternative methods for dealing with my health and switched my diet to a whole foods plant-based diet. And through that was just really able to see some very quick progress. In about 3 weeks, I noticed a change in my energy. After about 3 months, I was able to get off of one of my pills. And after 6 months, I was off of all of them. And just really made a big difference. And anyways, why that led me to childcare is because I wanted to have kids and I wanted them to grow up in an environment where that was not strange, where they could also be exposed to the same foods. And that would just be the norm. It wouldn't be strange that they were eating rice and kale and carrots and things like that.
That's a cool story.
So that kind of led you to childcare. So when did you first buy your center or start your center and all that stuff?
So I purchased a small existing center in September of 2014, and they had 34 kiddos at the time. In 2016, we maxed our capacity at 100 kiddos. And in 2017, we added an addition to the building that we were in and then purchased that building as well.
That's crazy. So then you now have two centers. So how did that all transpire?
I blame Caroline, really.
Don't let out the secrets.
I think I'm working with Caroline in.
Your staff blames me, I think.
They do, actually.
All right, you can talk. I won't interrupt you.
Okay, now. They love everybody. In May of 2018, I had my second child, and he did not sleep through the night, and he was a tough baby. And in December, I got a phone call, and there was a center close to me in town that had been owned by the same owner for 30 years. Lovely two ladies who had just loved this center, you know, with their whole hearts, and they were looking to get out of it, and they had... they approached me and I said, no, I'm not interested. I just had a baby. And I said, but please let me come look at it. And they said, okay. And I walked in and I thought, this is supposed to be mine. And I walked out and looked at my husband and he said, what do you think? And I said, I think that's our second center. And he went, what? Really?
And I said, you're like, yeah. Oops, you didn't know, did you, hon?
You couldn't tell from the look on my face. And so we purchased that in January 31st of 2019, which brings us to today.
Wow. And so you had to go in and it was under a different name, had a completely different culture than what your original center had. Tell us about that experience and, you know, what it's like to go in and take over someone else's brand.
Okay. So here's the thing. You ask people if they like change, and some people will say no, but most people say, yes, I like change, or I'm adaptable. And here's the thing, nobody is. Nobody loves change. So I think the first thing is the realization that that's what you're walking into, right? For me to feel successful at that center, I had to make it my own, and I had to make it consistent with our philosophy and brand that we had at Leap Academy in Wanakee, our first location. So we changed the menu, and we, you know, implemented our philosophy, which is a play-based philosophy. And we trained and trained and trained, and it was hard, and some people didn't like it. And unfortunately, you know, we had some staff leave, and that's, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. And I think especially, you know, in early 2019, we were in the middle of a staffing crisis in childcare. And who knows where we're going to land post-COVID. I don't know that anybody knows what that's going to look like, but it's scary to lose staff. But I knew for us that that was going to be part of the game, that we had to be aligned with our philosophy and our core values in order for me to feel successful at that center. So, you know, I think when it comes to that, it's just constantly planting seeds, and then you have to walk away and wait for them to grow. And I have to say today, even in the COVID pandemic, it looks like Leap Academy to me. And it feels like Leap Academy to me. It takes a long time though.
Right. And I think this will be a great topic for a future podcast in terms of what you all went through to get Leap Academy Madison where it is today from where it was. And it's really quite a journey. And you did it so impressively that I would love to just kind of, you know, really dive into what you did on a future podcast, because I think there's a lot of people that would like to know how you did it, because taking over someone else's brand, someone else's culture, their staff, and having your philosophies are completely different than what the original owner was. And so you had to make a ton of changes. And I think you're right. People say that they're open to change, but when it really comes right down to it, you know, we're going to push back a little.
Yeah. Or absolutely.
Well, and it really depends upon how much change. Like, you know, like the people are like, yeah, I'm good with change, but like a little bit of change, you know, like yes. minor things over time, not like kind of a 180.
Like you're going to move my classroom across the hall or down the way, or you're going to make me teach a different way, or...
Right. Or there's going to be a different color on my paint wall. You know, that's an easier change than we have a new philosophy and you need to change the way you're running your classroom.
So, exactly.
But I think also one more comment I have about that is that it is about timing as well. And it is about really recognizing where people are at and what they can handle and giving them the time to grow into that. And so I think, you know, Caroline, you and I have had lots of conversations about what I can handle in terms of change and what my staff might be able to handle, and when is the time to push harder and when is the time to let off the gas pedal and say, let's just settle in. So we made a big change. Let's give everybody a month. Let's just take a deep breath and then let's figure out where we're at and regroup. And I think that that process just has to be perpetual if that's what you're trying to do.
Right. And you bring up a really good point, because Maria's personality is just to get it done. Right. And so having to just, let's think about our staff and timing and what can they handle. That was truly probably a really critical part of the equation as to why you're successful and why they adapted so great. But it's such a cool story. Now, one of the things that you mentioned in talking about kind of why you started in childcare, you had mentioned about your health. And I think let's talk about your nutrition program at Leap Academy, because I really think that that is part of why you are such a trailblazer. That's what differentiates you, and you know who you are. And your nutrition program, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, came from those health issues that you have. And now you've got like this really great program that you offer your kids.
Yeah, that's correct. That was definitely the inspiration for the food program. I was so excited about having a place to work where I might be able to eat too, because, you know, when I had changed my diet and, you know, prior, oh man, well, I started eating this way, oh man, probably 11 years ago. And 11 years ago, it wasn't very popular to be a plant-based eater. And so I just cooked for myself all the time. I mean, I spent hours cooking for myself. So to think about having a workplace where I would be able to eat and not have to think about what was for lunch was really inspirational to me as well. So there was also a little bit of a selfish end, I guess, is what I'm trying to tell you. I was excited about that. Yeah, but our menu is really, really based on whole foods. So we have lots of whole grains. We serve plain barley, plain brown rice, quinoa, things like that. We serve lentils, garbanzo beans. We do serve meat. We serve baked fish every other week with brown rice and a green vegetable. And almost everything we have is cooked from scratch, with the exception of a couple things like some crackers here and there, like Triscuits. Most everything we serve doesn't have any added sugar in it. We try to avoid that as much as possible. And so if we can't find it without sugar, then we make it. So each center has a chef on site that's responsible for that. We work cohesively to make sure that they have what they need and they're supported and that the kids are eating the food. The chefs are really involved in making sure that the kids have things that they like to try. So, and then we modify the menus from there to make sure that we have a menu that's amenable to the kids as well. And the chefs also are responsible for making our own baby food. So because we have all these lovely organic vegetables, in our kitchen anyways, then they just blend them up and make them into purees and are responsible for communicating with the parents about how the infants are introduced into our food program. I had great success with it too. I'm a true believer that if you stick food in front of kids when they're hungry, they'll eat it. And we just don't have very many kids who don't try our food. It might take a little bit and it might take a little inspiration, or we might have to modify a slight thing here or there, but most of the time once they get exposed to it, they're excited about it.
So. There's two food items I have to ask you about that I've heard the kids love. The first is the spaghetti pizza.
Yes.
What is that exactly? Because I know there's all kinds of really great stuff in there, like you hide, I think you said lentils in there and all kinds of really great things. So the kids think it's pizza, but it's a really, really healthy version.
So we make our own spaghetti sauce from scratch. So it's tomatoes and lentils and all kinds of vegetables, just, you know, stewed over a pot for a long time. And then whole wheat noodles. And so those are included and integrated into the sauce. And then we make our dough from scratch as well. So, and all of this is allergen free. So the dough is without eggs or dairy. So if we have a child with allergies, they can eat all of this. The spaghetti with the lentils and the fresh vegetables is then spread on top of the dough and topped with cheese and put in the oven.
Okay, I'll be over in about 3 hours.
I'll mail some to Florida.
Well, I don't know if that would travel so well, but you try it and let me know. I could just drive there. So maybe I'll do that and I'll just be like, ha, Caroline, I get the spaghetti pizza today.
Well, what if we do daycare overhaul on the road and we visit centers and we go for a taste test?
We're here to eat your food. What are you having today? So the other food item I have to ask you about is your carrot butter.
Oh my gosh, I love carrot butter.
So I feel like most people be like, what's carrot butter?
I swear we could sell this and close both centers and we would be successful because the kids eat it so fast. So we make sunflower butter. So you have to have a food processor. Take the food processor, you roast some sunflower seeds for about 5 minutes and throw them in the food processor until they are liquid sunflower butter. And by the way, you can do that with any nut. So we're nut free. So we have to use sunflower seeds at the center. But when I make it at home, I use almonds or peanuts or cashews. If you want it to be really rich, you should make it with cashews. Super yummy. You can throw a little bit of salt in if you want. And then once that's done, you take some carrots, cut them into 2-inch chunks, saute them in some water for about 10 minutes until they're soft and ready to puree. And you throw it in with the sunflower butter. And it makes just this really nice mixture. And then we put that on toast or we put on crackers or something like that. And the kids just love it. So we hide the carrots. First time we served it, somebody thought it was chocolate.
What?
Yeah, really. Think of how strong their eyes are going to be, and they think they're eating chocolate.
Well, I suppose if you think...
I feel like a Jedi.
I feel like if you think, like, carrots have a higher sugar content than some other vegetables, so that sweetens it up a little bit. Not that they're super high in sugar, but they have more sugar than, you know, celery, obviously. Absolutely. And so I think that that probably helps with the taste, where it probably masks the carroty taste and makes it, like, taste like chocolate, apparently.
Wow. So did you say you have a garden that you grow your own food in?
We do have a gardening program at each center. So we don't get too picky about if we get produce from the garden, because with our play-based philosophy, sometimes what happens is that the kids run into the garden and pick all the produce. And I love that. That's so great. So this summer we had really great success with cherry tomatoes, and they sat out there and picked them, and then they'd wash them in the sink and come back and just sit outside and eat them. And the other thing that sometimes happens with that is they'll start doing comparisons. So they'll pick them and go, oh, you have the largest one. Let's line them up from largest to smallest. And then it becomes a math lesson. So when we can, we get produce from the garden. And when we can't, we use it as a learning opportunity.
That's awesome. I would like to enroll and be a kid at your school.
Well, thanks, Justina.
Because I really want some carrot butter and some spaghetti pizza, and I want to compare tomatoes. That would be so much fun.
Well, I'm waiting for the day.
For you.
I'm waiting for the day where she jars it and sells it, because I don't know why you're not selling it yet. It'll be little Maria's face on there. Maria's carrot butter.
It's probably in her book that she writes on her ideas with her husband.
It's in my book. My leather bound entrepreneurial journal ideas.
So what's happening is what you're saying.
Maybe in 2022. We'll take it step by step.
So with all of your different menu items and your Whole Foods and stuff, do the kids get to cook any of that themselves? Like, do you bring that into the classroom so they can be a part of their lunch experience?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the more hands-on and the more involved they are, the more likely they are to eat it and the more excited they are about it. So our nutritional coordinators at both centers spend time going into the classrooms and cooking with the kids. And occasionally, pre-COVID, we've done a lot with families as well, with cooking nights and take and bake meals and things like that.
Well, and that's another thing. I use you as an example a lot of times when I'm out doing trainings. You are big on education in terms of, like, educating your families. And maybe, I know this isn't, like, one of the things that we had talked about, but maybe you could just touch on how you've educated your families in the past in terms of, like, you know, that brain development and nutrition, et cetera.
Yeah. So there's a story there, and I might cry. Can I tell you the story?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So in 2014, I opened my centers and I didn't have, or my center, and I didn't have any kids. And in 2016, I had my first baby, and her name is Winnie, and now she's 4, and she's pretty darn perfect, as everybody's 4-year-old child is, because 4-year-olds are awesome. And one thing that I wasn't expecting as a parent is she came out, and I looked at her, and she was just this beautiful being. And all of a sudden, all of my insecurities came out and, like, filled into this void where I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do justice to this beautiful being that I just had. I'm not going to be a good enough parent. And so, you know, as a female, and you too can probably relate to this in some capacity, you know, when you're a teenager, you're just feeling so insecure about everything. And as an adult, I just hadn't had that experience. I'm a fairly confident person. And then I became a parent, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. And this is so different than I thought it was going to be. And I have the education, and I have the background, and I'm in touch with 100 kids every day. And if I'm not feeling confident, there has to be a whole lot of other mamas and daddies out there who are not feeling confident in their parenting ability. And we've got to do something about that. We've got to make sure that we're a village for these families and not just for these kids. And so that really shifted my mindset as a daycare owner into providing parental education And so we do, first of all, I think that something that I'm really proud about is that we just build great relationships with families, and they're always welcome to ask us any questions about their parenting. And where we have great staff who are available. I've got directors who have raised 3 children. I've got directors who have great education. Our teachers are always open to listening. And I love just brainstorming through with a parent and talking to them about how it's affecting them. So through that, we have implemented a lot of parental education. We offer over 90 hours a year at each center in family outreach. Activities. So we do activities on brain development, we do activities on cooking, we do activities on managing challenging behaviors, and then we do just some fun activities like snowflake making. You know, when they pick up, they can make a snowflake together, and it gives them a chance to see how their child might interact or react in our center.
Oh, that's so cool. I remember you telling me after one of the training sessions that you held, just parents coming up to you after the fact and saying, we never knew that information about brain development in our young child. And I think it's so critical. You know, we are experts in this age group, and we need to make sure that, you know, we're educating these families, because that's what's going to set us apart from like a school district or even a nanny. Nothing against nannies, but you know, if we're really claiming that we're an educational center, you know, educating our parents as well as our children is really critical.
You know, here's the other thing with that, Caroline. Early childhood education is really expensive and should be very expensive, in my opinion, because we're developing their brains in a very significant way until the age of 5. And so I think there's a perception sometimes when we talk about childcare that, you know, the word daycare gets thrown a lot, or babysitter gets thrown around a lot. And most of my teachers have education that goes beyond that, some with 2, 4 and beyond that degrees. And parents need to know why that's valuable. Parents need to know why they're paying $250,000 for 5 years of early childhood education. And the more we do that, the more they're willing to partner with us, and the more they support our programs, and the more they would support our industry as well.
Great point. And we really need that support right now more than ever, just to be able to keep our doors open with, you know, not being able to maximize enrollment and the issues that we've had, obviously, with COVID. Now you've got, we actually had one of your employees on our podcast, right, Justina?
That is right. We had your curriculum coordinator. So obviously you do a lot of parent education, but you also do a lot of teacher education. Is that the right word? And so on episode 10, you can go back and listen. We had Heidi come on and talk about what she does for your employees, but do you want to just talk about that a little bit too, and why you feel it's important to have that person in your organization?
Absolutely. Well, Heidi is magical, first of all. And so the moment I met her, she needed to be a part of my staff on a full-time basis. She is just dynamic. She's been doing this for 25 years, and she can lead a group of 3-year-olds like nobody I've ever seen. So I wanted her to be able to come into my centers and influence my staff and to have them improve their teaching, partly for them and partly for the kiddos, but also for their own satisfaction. You know, the longer we have employees around, the better they are, the better our centers are. So she's a great investment. And she's also one of my very good friends now. So.
Yeah, we loved having her on. You know, she, like you can tell you guys are really passionate about what you do. You know, she got pretty emotional about the staff at Leap Academy, and that really is a testament to you as an owner and what a tight-knit culture that you have built. And that's something you don't always see. And I believe that is part of why you are an innovator in this industry. You've got a really solid team around you. You've got all the right people in the right places. So, you know, super cool on your part. Now you've got some other things that you've been doing kind of since COVID with activity kits. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think something that we really got back to when COVID hit, well, first of all, it freaked all of us out. Like, it freaked probably everybody out. And we really, really took a step back and said, how are we going to serve our families now? So we started the Slack board for our families to reach out to each other and figure out what they need, and for our teachers to be able to post some videos. We did activity pickup kits. So some of them we charged a small fee for, and other ones we were able to give away for free. We also offered conscious discipline. So a conscious discipline course we bought the license to. So all of our parents had access to that and led some discussion groups through that as well during that time. Many of our parents, we were closed for a very, very short period of time, about a week and a half. But many of our parents chose not to bring their children back right away. But also were struggling. At least that's what we were hearing from our parents, is, boy, this is really hard to try to work from home with a small child or two small children. You know, or, oh my goodness, I've lost my job and now I've got additional stress and I haven't been home full time with my kids since they were 6 months old or right. 6 weeks old even. So we tried to do as much as we could to support them during that time through whatever means we could, including all of those things.
Yeah, go ahead, Justina.
No, go ahead, Caroline. What were you going to say? I was going to just kind of segue. I think that like leads us into our next topic of like, obviously we can't talk about how you've been a trailblazer without also talking about COVID and the global pandemic and what it's done to your business and how you've rebounded. And you kind of touched on that, but do you want to talk more specifically about what COVID has done for you instead of to you?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question. I love your spin on positivity, Justina.
I try.
Yeah. So up until 2020, specifically March 13th, 2020.
Not that we're getting specific at all, but no, if we had to pick a date, it would be that date.
If we had to pick a date, it might be that date. What I had known was growth. I was so lucky to be a part of this industry for 5 years of pure growth. It's awesome. So fun. Was not prepared at all for a global pandemic and what that was about to do. So for me, it is really, and for my team, we have developed some mad resilience skills. So we have a couple of mottos. Sometimes we take a deep breath and then we shift. That is a big one. We have also developed a technique where we will go for a walk if we feel a little bit overwhelmed. So if it's a situation or a decision that is too close to our hearts, or we just can't think rationally, or we're angry about it, we drop everything and go for a 10-minute walk, assuming that the center is okay. And we have really gotten back to basics and just becoming the best center that we can. So when we were low on kids and had more staff, we spent a ton of time doing training and cleaning the center and just becoming the best people that we could be and the best center that we could be so that we could come out of this. You know what? It was gonna happen and it was happening anyways and it's still happening and I don't think it's gonna change anytime soon. I hate to be a pessimist, but I think this is where we're at. And so, you know, I listened to a great podcast this week and it was Rachel Hollis' podcast. We all love Rachel Hollis. Mm-hmm. And she said something to the effect of, you know, it's really popular right now to blame 2020 for all of your problems. I'm totally misquoting her. Sorry, Rachel Hollis. But something to that effect. And I thought, you are stinking right. It's so popular to like numb out right now and just decide that, you know, this is, everything's terrible. And it's not going to magically change in 4 months. Like, this is where we're at. So let's make the best of it and count our blessings and look at where we're at.
That's exactly the mindset I've tried to have for months and months and months now. You know, well, we're all on those emotional roller coasters, right? One day we're fine. And then the next day it just kind of hits, reality sets in. You get fearful, and that's normal. But I think, you know, I love how Justina put it, you know, not what COVID has done to us, but just for us. And having that mindset. So I have the privilege of still having access to your Slack channels. And so I see how you're engaging and motivating your staff. That is, I wish, I don't even know how to explain that via a podcast, but you're always encouraging your staff. You're always having them share like the positives of what they're seeing. And I think you constantly reinforcing that with your team is making a huge difference in your culture.
You know, we all need that right now. We just need somebody in our lives to point out all the good things.
Well, and as I've said, and I think Caroline has said countless times, we firmly believe that things that people have done for their business during the season are going to, they're going to change the way that they do business, and probably for the better. You know, maybe we do need to take that 10 minute walk if we're feeling overwhelmed. Why would we not do that? And you know, it takes something like this to be like, I need to focus on myself. I need to do this. And so what kind of things do you think that you will continue to do? You know, like once, you know, we say once everything's over, but once things return to a different kind of normal, because I think, as you said, it's not going away. It's just going to be how we have to live for who knows how long. But what are things that you instituted because of COVID that you're going to choose to continue to do once you don't necessarily have to anymore?
Okay, we have this awesome fogger, and you put on a suit and you look like a Ghostbuster after the center closes, and you walk around and spray a hospital grade disinfectant on everything. And it, first of all, it's super fun and very stress relieving if you've had a long day to dress up like a Ghostbuster and walk around and shoot things with chemicals. So I highly recommend that everybody consider this. It's not that expensive. Parents love it. They know about it. We post about it on social media all the time that this is what we're doing. Super fun. Also, whatever we're doing seems to be working to keep illness out of the center. So we're finger swiping at the door. We're sanitizing left and right. Not only have we, my center personally, knock on everything, has not had a case of COVID, but our illness rate has dropped significantly. And parents love that. I'm not even sure they know that they love that because they haven't had ill children. But we just aren't seeing illness. So whatever is happening, and perhaps it's even something that's happening at home because people are not going out as much and social distancing at home. But this has been wonderful for illness rates. So I'm hoping, you know, some of those things remain intact, and teaching the kids to hand wash, all of these great things, like, you know, the sanitary practices are something that we probably should have been doing. We were doing them, but not to this level and not with this level of diligence and fear that we are all are feeling right now. So I'm hoping to keep that up.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to impact flu season. I'm curious, especially in Wisconsin where, you know, you're closed in the winter, and now with, you know, your fogger, and I've seen those pictures of your staff dressed like a Ghostbuster, which is pretty cool. You know, I'm curious to see if we actually even have maybe a more mild illness season. That's kind of what I'm praying for. I'm hoping for that.
I'm hoping for that too.
Yeah.
Another thing that's been a little bit nice for our staff is that we've reduced our opening hours to try to not cross-contaminate staff. And that's working okay for families because they're working from home. So I'm really curious to see if that continues. I think there's a number of industries that probably won't go back to working in an office anytime soon. And that's allowed us to manage our expenses a little bit through the fluctuations. And also, it's very nice for staff to be able to be done a little bit earlier than normal.
Agreed. Cool. Well, is there any last bit of advice that you would give to our listeners today before we wrap up? You on the spot, Miss Maria.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that I have to say is that I think you have to find your community too. I'm really lucky to have been in touch with both Caroline and Justina and a lot of other daycare center owners who are really, really intelligent people. And I'm really impressed with the way that the industry came together during the COVID pandemic. And a lot of the ideas I've had have not been my own. They've been things that other people have shared with me, or we've had lots of discussions. There's been lots of people to lean on. And I think moving forward, that's going to be the best model. So I think find your people. Find your people and love them.
That's
share ideas with them. I think that's my best advice.
Okay, I have one final question.
Yes, ma'am.
What's next for Maria?
Oh my goodness.
The heavy question, Justina. What's next?
Well, maybe the carrot butter, but I've always wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
All right, you had your opportunity. I'm just going to say. at our last retreat, you had your opportunity to be a comedian.
This is what I want to say. This is like the most serious conversation we've ever had. Usually when we're talking, there's lots of laughter and jokes thrown in.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So I'm hoping we're having a party here in our little community, in the new community that I'm in. And it's a comedy night. And so I have to come up with a 5-minute skit.
You want some help?
Yes.
I just say, quick, Maria, grab a plane ticket and fly down. You can make your debut.
Oh, I would love to see you do stand up. It would be amazing. But yeah, this has been a very serious, it feels like it has been a very serious podcast, but you know, the lighthearted side is you're just such a happy, like super funny person. And so is Justina. So am I. And the three of us in a different environment, a little more upbeat, but you gave us so much great information today. And I do truly think of you as a friend and as family, and you are really an innovator in our industry. There's not many centers that are as confident as you are right now after going through what I'm going through. And yeah, you're going to have your downtime, but you guys are doing it. You're rocking it out, and it's super impressive. So stay strong and be encouraged.
Thank you so much. And thanks for all you're doing for the industry as well. I think we all need it right now.
Yeah. You know, every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, we have a prayer group for our industry specifically. So anyone can join in. So just kind of look at our Facebook for that information in case you're interested in spending 10 minutes in prayer for, you know, early childhood education. It was a delight, Maria, to have you, and we're looking forward to you joining us again.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. And as always, thank you for listening to Daycare Overhaul. Be sure to follow us on social at Daycare Overhaul, and let us know if you try any of Maria's ideas with the hashtag OverhaulWin. And thanks, Maria, for coming today. If you have any questions for us at any time or for Maria, we'll have her back and you can ask her some questions. Email us at info@daycareoverhaul.com, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.